Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it was not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Father God, we come to this place joyous, but also with cares upon our hearts. We pray that we might set them aside and to be open to what you have to say to us. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen. So just to fill in our guests here today, I have been doing a sermon series called Congregational Questions, where people have written questions down, and they put them in a little box, and at the end of the service, I draw out a slip, and that is the subject of next week's sermon. And allow me to say that you guys are really kicking me in the backside this year with these questions. So this week, the slip that was pulled out was about John 14:6, which says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the question was, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Do other religions have a way to heaven? And what about people that have never seen or read a Bible? People that have never been exposed to Jesus. So this part of John is what is referred to as Jesus's farewell speech. This comes directly after the Last Supper in the upper room, and before he goes off to Gethsemane, is arrested, falsely tried, and then crucified. And in this farewell speech, Jesus is trying to instill wisdom one more time in his disciples. He wants to make sure that they are ready to carry on after he is gone. And so he starts this out with some reassurance. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. It's one thing to have Jesus physically in front of you. There is a certain amount of comfort in that. But when your Savior is gone, belief comes a little bit harder, shall we say. And he talks about where he's going and what to expect. And he talks about heaven having many dwelling places. And he is going to prepare a place, and he will come again and take us back to heaven. And then he finishes off, and you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas, and yes, this is doubting Thomas, asks the question, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus hits them with, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You have seen him in me, in the Son of God. So, verse 6, that's the tricky one. What exactly is Jesus talking about here? And it's troubling because it seems to indicate that there is only one way to the Father, that there is only one way to get to heaven, basically. And there is no other way. Now, this doesn't sit well with people because it has that very narrow focus. It doesn't sit well that a loving creator would do something like this. And it leads to the questions that have been posed this week. Now, there are a number of different ways that verse 6 has been interpreted. There is the literal interpretation, which says the only way to heaven, the only way to get there where Jesus is by following Jesus. The Greek word that is translated as the is a definitive article. It's not saying, he's not saying, I am a way, a truth, and a life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have to accept Jesus in order to get to the Father. You must mold your life on how Jesus lived his life. Otherwise, you don't get into heaven. This includes everyone in the world, regardless of color, race, creed, and religion. Now, the focus a lot of times on this verse is about after death. What's going to happen after we leave this mortal coil? But let me just say that there is a part to this verse that applies to us now. Jesus being the life, the way, the truth, the life, he is saying, look at the example that I have given to you. Model your life after it. And you get, and you get benefits here on earth, not just the benefit of having eternal life after we pass. A second interpretation of this says that since it is Thomas who has already accepted Jesus, asked this question, that Jesus' response is directed specifically at Christians. In order to get to heaven, a Christian that has accepted Jesus needs to really model their lives after him. It's not just about accepting, it's about doing and acting in the way that Jesus lived while he was here on the earth. It's kind of close to the literal translation, but it doesn't include anything about what non-Christians, what is the way, is there a way for non-Christians? There's a third interpretation of this scripture that says, that Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection covers all people, no matter their color, their race, their creed, or their religion might be. Christ's death on the cross covers all sin, covers all sinners. This is sometimes called universal salvation. And in this interpretation, there is no need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You're covered. You don't have to do anything else. Now, as I said, this is a very troubling verse to many people, because surely a loving, caring God would not limit to only those who profess Christ as Lord and Savior. A lot of people have forgotten that God is also just as well as being loving. They forget about the Old Testament God who destroyed cities, did not allow a generation of the Jewish people to enter into the promised land because of their sins against Almighty God. And this is also the God that allowed Israel to kill and conquer their enemies. You see, the fact of the matter is that there is a price that needs to be paid for going against what God has commanded. Jesus hasn't come yet, so other ways of atoning were needed. The sacrifices at the temple, the consequences of certain actions, like killing someone, meant that you also were killed. But today we have Jesus. And we have his atonement that came from what he did on the cross. He has taken the sin of all of us upon him. He has paid the price. And those of us that profess him are covered by that atonement, by that grace. So what exactly is true about this passage? Well, if you subscribe to the Christian focus that this was only meant for Christians, or the universal salvation interpretation, then this passage is not too troubling, because people are covered. But if the literal translation is true, then we need to ask the two questions that we have before us today. Do other religions have a way to heaven? And what about people who have never seen or read a Bible? Do other religions have a way to get to heaven? Under the literal translation, interpretation, the answer to that is yes. They need to stop denying the truth, and they need to accept that Jesus is the only way to heaven and accept him as Lord and Savior. They need to walk the path that God then sets before them. Now, that doesn't mean that they totally abandon. Well, I should say, I think that means they don't have to necessarily abandon all of the aspects of their religion. They just need to turn their focus to Jesus. What about the people that have never seen or read a Bible? This is a very, very tricky question to try to be answer. And to be truthful, I have struggled and continue to struggle finding a satisfactory answer to this question. The question perhaps is best revealed by the answer to, what about all those that died before the coming of Christ? What about all of the people from the Old Testament who did not have Jesus in the way that we do? Deuteronomy 4:29 says, from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all of your heart and soul. If someone actively seeks God, he is going to reveal himself to them in some way. Probably not going to be the way that God reveals himself, but he will reveal himself to that person. So perhaps the best way to answer this question is that God will find a way to reach people that have not heard of him or of Jesus. The Bible tells us that God has written his laws upon our hearts. That's a seed, I think, to then asking the question, who actually made these rules? And therefore, God can then reveal himself. So, what can we do today to make the way, the truth, and the life known to people? Because, let's face it, my friends, we are called into communion with God for worship, and we are also called to be the hands, the feet, the voice of God here on earth. We need to be spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to the nations, to do all in our power to let people in our community and elsewhere go and learn about Jesus Christ. We need to support missionary organizations that reach out to the places that we cannot go in order that the good news may reach the world. And there are many organizations that do this. We must trust in the wisdom of God, the love of God, and the compassion of God, that he will make a way for people to know him. And we need to realize that God making a way does not preclude us from being part of that way. When I say that God will make a way, that includes part of our mission, my friends. So we need to pay attention and do all that we can, both through our monetary donation to this church, to other organizations, and we must show God every day in our lives and thereby spread that good news. Amen.